Imagine a miracle worker rolls into your town. He completely cures the two most dangerous, marginalized men in the area.
Right, basically making the whole region safe again.
Exactly. But the town's reaction, they immediately tell him, please leave now.
It sounds completely backward, doesn't it? I mean, you'd expect a
Or
parade.
at least a massive celebration for getting the streets back, you know?
Wow.
But today we're doing a deep dive into a stack of historical commentaries, ancient economic texts, and, well, theological analyses of the Gospel of Matthew.
Specifically, chapter 8, right?
Yeah, chapter 8. Our mission is to do an exegesis, which is really just a fancy word for a deep critical analysis of a text.
We want to figure out the shocking cultural, economic, and psychological reasons behind this instant eviction notice.
So to really grasp the town's hostility, we first have to look at the immediate aftermath.
Right, because Jesus casts the demons out of these two fierce men, but he allows those demons to enter a nearby herd of roughly 2,000 pigs.
2,000.
Yeah, 2,000. And those pigs then rush down a steep bank and drown in the sea.
Okay, let's unpack this. The scale here is just wild. I mean, 2,000 pigs isn't a small family farm.
Not at all.
It's like someone coming into a struggling city and curing a massive public health crisis. But to do it, they had to permanently blow up the local Amazon fulfillment center.
That is a great analogy.
Like, everyone is healthy, but nobody has a job. So for the townspeople, was this cure just too expensive for them to tolerate?
Financially speaking, yeah. I mean, this took place in the Decapolis, which is a region of 10 Gentile cities.
Right, so they weren't Jewish.
Exactly. In that ancient agrarian economy, pork wasn't just dinner. It was a massive staple of their agricultural trade.
So their main export and livelihood.
Yes. A herd of that size represents an astronomical amount of wealth. Jesus effectively traded a multi-million-dollar local industry for the sanity and souls of two outcasts.
Wow, that's a huge loss.
The townspeople are staring at those dead pigs, you know, calculating the sheer cost of having this guy stick around.
So the economic panic is the initial trigger. But hold on, I'm struggling with this part.
What's that?
Well, if someone cures a violent crisis in my neighborhood, I don't really care how messy it is. I'm thrilled.
Right, you just want the danger gone.
Exactly. Why would these people actively choose to keep a violent threat around? Isn't a cure always objectively better?
What's fascinating here is how human psychology handles trauma and disruption. We have this deeply ingrained tendency to prefer a predictable problem over an unpredictable solution.
A predictable problem. So, like the known chaos.
Exactly, the known chaos. The locals were completely used to these fierce, possessed men. They had adapted to it.
They just built boundaries, right? Like, hey, kids, don't walk near the tombs today.
Yeah, the danger was compartmentalized. You can plan around known chaos.
But you can't plan for someone who just wipes out a herd of 2,000 pigs.
No, you really can't. Jesus shows up and brings this radical transformation. But his kind of change is messy. It's frightening.
Yeah.
It completely shatters their status quo.
Because encountering a power that is totally out of your control is terrifying.
Precisely. The demons were a local menace, they understood. Jesus, on the other hand, was an absolute force of nature who could upend the natural order with a single word.
So they weren't feeling religious reverence.
No, they were feeling sheer terror of the unknown.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. This fear of his unpredictable power wasn't just about dealing with change, was it?
Not at all. It was rooted in a massive cultural collision. If we connect this to the bigger picture, you have to look at the demographics of this borderland.
Right, because the Decapolis was heavily Gentile.
Yes, to the locals, Jesus wasn't a hometown hero. He was a foreign Jewish rabbi bringing highly disruptive spiritual warfare to their doorstep.
And doing it by destroying their property.
Property that, according to Jewish law, was considered unclean anyway. So the pre-existing tension there would have been incredibly thick.
So, what does this all mean for us? When you boil it down, it's a fundamental clash of values.
Absolutely. Jesus valued restoring two broken human beings above all property, all economics, and, well, all social comfort.
While the town valued civic self-preservation.
They wanted to maintain their comfortable, contained ecosystem, even if it meant leaving two men in absolute agony out in the tombs.
It really makes you look at your own life, you know? Like, how often do you prefer the known chaos?
The bad habits, a toxic work environment, those familiar guysy.
Right, because the cost of radical transformation is just too disruptive. We build boundaries around our own metaphorical tombs just to avoid dealing with the unpredictable nature of real change.
it's much easier to manage familiar problem than to surrender to a total transformation.
Which brings us right back to that miracle worker standing outside your town.
The real question is whether you let him in.
Exactly. If true healing requires sacrificing our own metaphorical herd of pigs, our comfort, our familiar structures, or predictable lives, are you actually willing to pay that price?
Or would you rather just ask the miracle to leave?
And keep your familiar demons, something for you to mull over.
A